That's God. Don't you understand a lot of the pure emotions that we express in our own love relationships, though it's imperfect because of the fall, are a reflection of our Creator and His own perfect personality? And so he begins to declare judgments over these people, and he says, like in verse 6, so the seacoast will be pastures with caves for shepherds and folds for flock, and the coast will be for the remnant of the house of Judah. And he's declaring these judgments, for the Lord their God will care for them and restore their fortunes. Even though he's declared judgments over Judah, and now he's declaring these judgments that can't be reversed over these nations, he keeps referring to Judah like they're his. For the Lord their God will care for them. I've heard the taunting of Moab. I've heard your arrogance against my people. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord, the God of Israel. They're his. He was angry and jealous for them, but he had not abandoned them. Surely Moab will be like Sodom, and the sons of Ammon like Gomorrah, a place possessed by nettles and salt pits, a perpetual desolation. The remnant of my people will plunder them, and the remainder of my nation will inherit them. The charity of God, his love for them. For they will return for their pride because they have taunted, become arrogant against the people of the Lord of hosts. And in this, we see both God's severity and God's charity. He's not abandoned them. He's jealous for them. He's not rejecting them. He wants them. And he's not going to tolerate the nations that have abused them and taunted them in their struggle. And then he says in verse 9 of chapter 3, well, listen, this is God's heart. This is verse 7. And I said, surely you will revere me, Judah, and you will accept instruction, so her dwelling will not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. Everything that I've destined for you, every desire in my heart for you, surely that's going to come to pass. Surely you're going to fear me and revere me again. And in verse 8, therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to the prey, indeed my decision to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them indignation, for all the earth will be destroyed, but the fire of my zeal, by the fire of my zeal, for then I will give to the peoples with purified lips that all of them may call the name of the Lord. For beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, my dispersed ones, will bring my offerings. And then he says this, in that day, you will feel no shame because of all your deeds which by which you rebelled against me. For I will remove them from your midst, your proud, exalting ones, you will never be haughty again. You'll be a humble people. Shout for joy, O daughters of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with your heart, O daughters of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken his judgments away from you. He has cleared away your enemies. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hand fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will restore you in his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing and shouts of joy. Now, here's the thing about the Lord that's amazing. And maybe you find yourself in this particular place, so this isn't what the word's about. Here's God who pronounces his severity over his people. But the whole time he pronounces them, he's like going, but if you'll just seek me, if you'll just turn to me, this isn't about destroying you. This isn't about rejecting you. This is not about abandoning you. This is about bringing you to me. This is about winning your heart. This is about dealing with those idols and false loves in your life. And he said, if you'll just turn to me, if you'll just seek me, if you'll just start longing for me again, he said, I will restore you. Now, here's the amazing thing to me about God. He said, on that day, he says, you will feel no shame. Not because he didn't do anything. You will not feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. Now, who can do that? I remember when I saw this scripture and I read this and reading through the book of Zephaniah and just seeing God who's so full of passion and he has the ability to just destroy And yet his heart is so jealous for his people on whom he has set his love. And that can't be reversed. And he's pronouncing these judgments. And then he says, but if you'll just long for me again, if you'll just seek me, I'm waiting on high, longing for you to have compassion. Just long for me again. And if you do, I'll redeem you, and I'll redeem your situation, and I'll restore you. See, redemption is not just about forgiveness. Redemption is the ability of God to restore and overrule for good all the loss occasioned by your sin. That's amazing to me. And the Lord said, on that day, you will feel no shame. Now, who can do that? Who has the power? Who can be so massive and powerful that he can say, if you'll just long for me again, I'll restore you and I'll redeem you, and you won't even have to live in shame for all the things that you did. I don't even want you to walk around ashamed. That's not right. That's not fair. That doesn't seem just. That's God. That he has the ability to do that. To not just restore, but to say to you, he has the right. He's the only one who has the right, who has the authority to say that to me and you. To say, now, I don't even want you to be ashamed on that day of the things that you did. I want to sing over you and rejoice over you. And you can't experience that if you live the rest of your life ashamed of what you've done. See, shame keeps us from believing and receiving God's great love for us. But the truth is, God delights in you and loves you. And shame is the enemy's accusations of telling us, he can't love me. I can't love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Look what I've done. Look where I've been. Now, to me, the key verse in all of Zephaniah is this. And that just makes me want to worship God so much, because who can do that kind of thing? Who can forgive like that? Who can redeem like that? Who in the world has authority to say something like that? In that day, there'll be no shame. Not because you didn't do the stuff. He says, you won't have shame for all the things you did when you were rebellious against me. In chapter 1, verse 12, this is what he says is the real problem with Judah. And this is the thing, this is the 5-minute sermon after the whatever 20-minute, 30-minute intro. It will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps. You know that God does that? He searches our hearts with lamps. He searches our life with lamps. I had this vision a few weeks ago about, I saw a vision of the Lord with a lamp in the night, kind of a foggy night. He was searching around, and I asked him, Lord, what are you searching for? And he said, I'm searching for the soul of America. So I just began to pray. And for that, ever since then. And that was before I really noticed the scripture. And it says, the Lord was searching Jerusalem with lamps. What is he looking for? And he said, I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. Now the word here, stagnant in spirit, is a good translation. If you have the NIV or the English Standard Version, it probably says settled on their lees, or thickening on their lees. That's the literal translation. The word is L-E-E-S. He said, I'm searching with lamps your heart, O Jerusalem, Judah, because you've settled or you thickened on your lees. Powerful expression that God uses. Lees is a term that's used in making wine. And whenever you put wine in a barrel, a cask, you always add some kind of material to it or chemical to it. Up until not too many years ago, they put powdered blood. It would cause a separation process to occur. And the dregs, the lees, which is like yeast deposits, would settle down to the bottom of the cask. It's kind of a thick, again, what we call dregs. It's like yeast deposits. And wine would sit on those lees, and as long as it sits on those dregs, the wine gets a little bit thicker and a little bit stronger. Now, if it's bad wine from the beginning, it just gets worse. But if it's good wine, it just gets better. But a good winemaker knows there has to come a time after so many years, after so much time, where you have to turn that barrel or pour it into another barrel. It has to be agitated. It has to be troubled. Because if you don't, if it sits on its lees too long, it begins to thicken. And what was once good wine becomes ruined and bad wine. And so the Lord uses this word speaking to Judah, and he's saying to them, you've known a season where things are good because of the leadership of Josiah. But he says, you've stopped longing. You've thickened on your lees. And you've been content because it's been good. And you've not wanted me to turn you, to agitate your heart, to confront your hearts, to trouble you. And you've been satisfied. And therefore, I'm jealous for you. And my lamps are looking for someone who says, Lord, keep doing more. Keep agitating my heart. Keep troubling my heart. Keep showing me, God. Cause me to repent. Reveal your beauty to me, God. Keep me fascinated and repentant before you, O Lord. Cause me to have a longing heart for you, God. And that was the issue. It was a good time for them. It had been a good time for them as a result of Josiah's rule. But the good times are sometimes the most dangerous times. Joseph and Mary forgot about Jesus. They weren't paying close attention. And they set out to take their journey home, and after a couple of days, they realized Jesus wasn't there. And so those of us who are so familiar can become complacent and begin to thicken on the lees. That we're so good that we're where we weren't. We're in a better place. We know water that's been ankle deep or maybe knee deep water. And there was a time in our life when we didn't know that. We're so grateful, God. We're spirit filled. We've known your gifts. We praise. We worship you. You've shown us stuff. It's been amazing. But we've just settled. And what God is looking for are hearts that are crying out to him that says, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Lord, I long for you. I want to behold your beauty. I want new glimpses, fresh revelation of who you are. Trouble me, Lord. I'm affected by the fall. All the rivals in my heart, reveal them, Lord, by your glory. Turn me, Lord. Trouble me. Keep converting my heart towards you, God. When you come and you search my soul with your lamps, find a heart that's beating for you and longing for you and crying for you, that's not settled for the good, that's not content with ankle-deep water or knee-deep water or waist-deep water. God, I want to swim in the water of the depths of your heart. Holy Spirit, plunge me into the depths. I want to be over my head, oh God. I don't want to be stagnant in spirit. I don't want to thicken on the lees. Because if you settle, it'll ruin. So when God comes and he blesses, how many charismatics have I heard tell the story about when they got filled with the Spirit? And those were the best days. How we long for those days. It's easy for us as parishes, right, to long for those days or whatever those days were. The best is always ahead of you. God is a tomorrow God. There's always more. It's a demonic spirit that calls us to long for the things that used to be. No matter how good they were, it wasn't the best. It's never the best. In all of eternity, we're going to be discovering that wasn't the best. The best is today, and it'll be better tomorrow and the next day if your heart is crying out, oh God, I long for you. I mourn for you. I want to experience more of you. I want your presence to be clearer. I want to love you more. Stir me. Turn me. I don't want to ever settle, no matter how good it was. I want to long for what was or be content with what is. Give me a hungry heart, God. That's your gift to me. Give me a hungry heart and a thirsting heart. Deep. There's always deeper. The Holy Spirit said he would take us into the deep things of God, the depths of God, 1 Corinthians. Deep. Since there's always deeper, that's what the scripture means, calls on the deep. Oh God, may there be this thing in me that cries out for deep, because there's more deep. It's deeper and deeper and deeper. I want to experience the depths of your soul, your heart. God, I want to know you like I've never known you before. I want to be filled. It says in Ephesians, to know, experience, to experience. The word literally to experience. The height and the depth and the width and the length of the love of God is to be filled with the fullness of God. Well, as filled as I've ever been, I've never been filled all the way because I don't understand all that yet. I haven't experienced the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, the love of God. I've experienced some, but there's more to be filled with. There's more filling to experience. There's greater capacity to contain more. And so that's the sermon. All the other stuff is awesome things about who God is, but I want you to hear this. You say, well, Bishop, you just don't know where I've been. Maybe you've been a person who's in a good place, or maybe you just settled in your leaves. Maybe you've been in a really bad place. Okay? Zephaniah's got you covered too. See, I think longing is more important than repentance. A longing heart is discontent and hates the stuff that it's living with if it's in sin, but doesn't know how to get back. God can teach a longing heart, bring a longing heart to repentance. What he's looking for are longing hearts. He can work with that. He can bring that person to repentance. But what God wants, and this is what I came to say to you. So in this sense, it's a prophetic word to you, sermon. God wants you here, Church of Messiah, to never stop longing for more. Stop lingering, gazing towards the past, of course, in your own experience. Don't settle on the lees. Don't thicken on the lees. There's more. There's more. There's more. God is longing for you. He just wants you to long for him. It really isn't any more complicated than that. If you'll just long for him, he'll bring you those places. He just does. The Holy Spirit will be your tour guide. He will escort you into the depths of the heart of God, in the deeper waters. Don't settle on your lees. Don't thicken on your lees. Be a longing church. Be a crying out church with expectation. Be a church that mourns for more of him. Not because it hasn't been good, but because you know there's more. Psalm 36, drink from the rivers of his pleasure. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together, confess the creed.